Well, this is The Pulse here on Joy News. My name is Elton Broby. Your comments are welcome. We are streaming live on all our social media handles, on X Spaces, on YouTube, on Facebook, and of course on myjoyonline.com. Some of the stories we are keeping an eye on this afternoon. The president, President Akufo-Addo, has just commissioned the Flower Port Interchange on the Spinters Road, stretching all the way to the Tema Motorway. We've got details for you coming up shortly. The Supreme Court also sets December 18 to rule on whether or not Parliament erred or went about its duty legitimately in the passage of the anti-gay bill. The Supreme Court says on the 18th of December it will rule on this particular matter. But let's now shift attention to your election headquarters. The NDC presidential candidate, John Mahama, is accusing President Akufo-Addo of deception and failing to fulfill promises, even in his constituency of Abuakwa South. Speaking on the Thursday of his tour of the Eastern Region at Chibi, the president's hometown, he criticized the government for its inability to deliver on a promise of $1 million annually for every constituency. Now let's get to understand how the campaign is shaping up in President Akufo-Addo's own backyard. And Maswell Agboba, who has been following the former president, joins me on the line. Now, Maswell, good to see you. I hope the campaign is treating you kind.
Yes, Elton, we're still here in the Eastern Region. It's day two of John Mahama's and the NDC's campaign here in the Eastern Region. Yesterday, like you rightly mentioned, he was at Chibi, the president's backyard, yesterday. And he made a lot of statements, criticized the president for what he described as underdevelopment of his own constituency, the Buakwa South constituency. He talked about the $1 million per constituency annually promise made by President Akufo-Addo. And he says, even in the president's own constituency, Buakwa South, you cannot see evidence of that on the ground. He started his speech by asking the people whether they have seen any kind of development in their constituency, or whether all is rosy as is perceived by a lot of Ghanaians, because it's the hometown of the president. Well, many of them who were gathered there at the time responded that no, it is not rosy as a number of people perceive to be. They say they are also feeling their own challenges when it comes to the economy. But right now we are here in the Achimswedro constituency. John Mahama just arrived here some minutes ago. We have the traditional authorities speaking right now. We'll be hearing from them shortly. But I have here with me the former Eastern Regional Minister, Mavis Ama Frimpong. She's here. We're going to interact with her. She's been based in this constituency for a very long time. I want to find out from her assessment. First of all, I want to find out from you, what really is your assessment when it comes to the Eastern region, the chances of the NDC?
Thank you so much, Joy. As you can see, the story has changed. There is a changing wave. We started from Adwajiri and Sawam constituency. You could see the changes and the signs at Abuakwa South yesterday. You saw even Chibi Town behind the palace, the way the people welcomed President John Dramani Mahama. Everything shows that indeed the people, though they have voted for MPP for a number of years, they've seen that they cannot continue to follow MPP, because at the end of the day, they have nothing to show for their own party that they voted for. So everyone is changing. And here, you know, we are coming from a chance of constituency. You saw what the people, the love that the people showed. The youth are ready to vote massively for NDC, because they know that when John Mahama comes, there will be development. When John Mahama comes, there will be employment. When John Mahama comes, women will have liberation, and children will have care in terms of medical care. And so we are saying that Eastern has changed.
Now, John Mahama criticized President Akufo-Addo and said that there's still some level of underdevelopment even in his own constituency, Buakwa South. What really do you think are the issues, the main issues that will play out in the Eastern region when it comes to the votes in the
You saw it yesterday that apart from Chibi Township, which even President Mahama himself started tarring the road. The roads linking to the town had been neglected. If you go to Kwau, apart from John Dramani Mahama fixing Nkokwo Etibia Road, nothing has been done. When you go to Krobo, it's the same. When you come to Achim, it's the same. When you go to Ekuyapim, so if you look at roads, nothing has been done. If you look at health sector, you could see that he said he was starting Agenda 88 and then he moved to Agenda 111. If you come to Eastern Region, we are just coming from Atiense constituency, Agenda 111 clinic. I call it polyclinic because it's a 40-bed capacity clinic that was opened, commissioned 2 months ago by their flag bearer, Vice President Bawumia. He commissioned it, but the hospital is still closed. Nurses are still staying at home. If you come to water, it's John Dramani Mahama that gave water to Chebi, that gave water to Ebrem, that gave water to a number of places. So all the development indicators, apart from NDC, nothing has been done. So you could see that they voted for MPP, but they were repaid with hardship, they were repaid with joblessness, they were repaid with destruction of education, they were repaid with a number of things that they never thought of. So right now, they have seen the light, and the light is John Dramani Mahama and NDC. So as you could see, people in Eastern Region are making the changing sign. They are saying that they won't allow anybody to deceive them again. Now let me move to the health sector. Nurses that have graduated since 2020 have been staying at home for these number of years without jobs. 3 months ago, the government of the day, MPP government, came out and said they were opening the recruitment portal for nurses that were staying at home to apply. Nothing was done. They didn't open it. Now, last week, they sent a circular that they are opening their portal for young people that have spent so much money, parents spent money in educating their own children. Those children are still sitting at home after graduation. And let me tell you, the deception and the scam in it. 2 days ago, they opened it for community health nurses. Yesterday, they said they were opening for midwives. Today, it's been opening for general nurses. Unfortunately, many of the health nurses have not been recruited. They said they came with a quota. So if you are not part of it, just 3 days, opening quota for them to just go through the process. What are they going to do? Why now? The question is, why now? After 4 years, couldn't we have spent the money used in digging the biggest hole in creating jobs for these young people? We could have done it. And so people in Eastern Region say they are not going to be allowed to be deceived again. No scam again. The nursing trainees have taken their allowance only last week, but they are going to vote against MPP. They are voting for NDC. They are rooting for NDC. You can hear the sound. You can hear the applause. You can hear the arousing welcoming of John Dramani Mahama to Eastern Region.
Now, in wrapping up this conversation, earlier you were saying that you are concerned about what you say is changes in policies of the NPP.
So, I was talking about the issue, the situation where in the health sector, we've seen that the vice president, the sitting vice president, Vice President Bawumia, is now rewriting the MPP manifesto. It appears he's rewriting the MPP manifesto. They launched their manifesto before NDC. Now they are saying they are going to medical tourism. He's using Agenda 111 to go into medical tourism. Does he know what entails into medical tourism? It does not take only a building to bring people from outside to access healthcare. logistics, personnel, equipment. He has not talked about anything. He's talking about that. Now let's go to other things. He's talking about his rewriting the manifesto in such a way that when President John Dramani Mahama talked about Mahama Care, creating a fund, Ghana Medical Trust Fund. Now, Vice President Bawumia says that on the 1st of December, he's going to give free access to dialysis. How many people will be able to access it? Why now? Bawumia, why now? MPP, why now? The people have wised up. The people of Ghana know who is speaking the truth. John Dramani Mahama is a trustworthy president. They've seen his work. They know him. He's an experienced man, and that is what they are waiting for. Everyone is ready to vote for John Dramani Mahama. Thank you. But before you go,
So those were live pictures from the Eastern Region. The NDC's flag bearer, John Dramani Mahama, is touring the Eastern Region. And yesterday he was at the constituency of the president, the Bwakwa South, and currently in another part of the region. We'll take you back when we have him speak to the electorates who have gathered to hear his campaign message for election 2024. Now, the MPP on the other side is concluding his campaign tour of the Ashanti. Dr. Mamadou Bawumia has focused his campaign on a party stronghold, Ashanti region, trying to win as many hearts as possible. Remember, the MPP's target is to amass at least 85% of the popular votes in Ashanti, where they are optimistic that if they are able to do so, that will win them the 2024 election. The party believes a massive win in the region will be a significant step in winning the ultimate come December 7. We'll analyze the impact of this 15-day intensive campaign by Dr. Bawumia and his campaign team. Let's start from the engagement on the final day.
And Dr. Myself with your computer. Now, Uye Juma were America, Ewa Canada, Ewa UK, Ewa Singapore, right from here. Now, Uji dollars, Ewa. Inti Yedi Yebe abolishi the import duty on all mobile phones imported into Ghana to reduce the cost of the mobile phone. Choboy. Yes, we are going to reduce the cost of data. The cost of data will come down for all the people of this country. Choboy, Choboy, the one say, many of my penny data na ekwa kansi. Ono wa bedi of my penny pe. Media minyendi president pe. Ye vote manwa, obeti me di president if ye nine. Na oko, mu vote mami anyami adu, meti me di president if ye watchi, na meti me abaha, abe ye juma amamu. Choboy, mum fastiano, emami, mum fastiano, emami, mum fastiano, emami.
So let me take you to the what is happening today, because today is the final day of the Bawumia 15-day campaign tour of the Ashanti region. Nana Bwachi Yadom, who has followed him throughout his tour, came through with this for Joy News.
15 days of crisscrossing various constituencies in the Ashanti region. That has been the routine of the MPP's presidential candidate, Dr. Mahmoudou Bawumia. Finally, his 15-day tour of the Ashanti region comes to an end today. He's currently live in Tepa, engaging various constituents. The last day, he's going through three constituencies. He'll be going into the Ahafuano Southeast, Ahafuano Southwest, and the Ahafuano constituency in itself. But currently, the vice president is in the palace of the Tepa Manhini, where he'll be engaging stakeholders in the constituency to share his bold solutions with them. But you can see that we are behind the It Is Possible bus. This is the very big bus that is taking the vice president across the country, crisscrossing various constituencies across the country. He has done over 250 constituencies so far, and he's expected to end very soon. You can see this huge bus where the vice president is almost always seen in sitting in with his people or whoever he goes along with when he's going through his tour. And so we are getting exclusive access into the bus of the vice president, where we'll be engaging the Honorable Anthony Abeifakabo, who will be speaking on behalf of the entire team. We're going to listen to their perspective as to how it has been so far 15 days touring the entire Ashanti region. So you'd want to join us as we enter the bus. This is the huge bus that takes the Vice President to Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia and its entourage throughout the country. It's been over 250 constituencies so far that the Vice President has toured, and you'd normally see the bus in your constituency. It shows you that the Vice President is currently in that particular constituency touring it, and you'd see him sitting over here with any other member of parliament in the various constituencies that he visits so far. And so right now is the Honorable Lantoi Abefa Kabo, who is sitting here, and we'll be having a conversation with him as to how the tour has been so far. Honorable, you're live on Joy News. Thank you so much for having us. And 15 days in the Ashanti region, I mean, how has it been?
Well, I think so far it's been very, very exciting. Our base is responding. Our candidate's message is hitting the core. And as you are aware and have monitored and followed through many of the constituencies that we've visited, he's engaging the chiefs, he's engaging queen mothers, he's engaging pastors, the clergy, and imams, and northern settlers who are in Ashanti region. And I think that is the real core of society, and that's where our messages are hitting and these particular stakeholders. And then after that, we have the opportunity to interact with our party supporters and get them geared up, ready to continue the campaign as we are in the final stretch.
Hitting the campaign in the Ashanti region, a lot of people had it in mind that it is not going to be successful. I have been with you throughout the tour. I see the numbers. I see the crowd. This is your base. This is, you're solidifying your base in the Ashanti region. Is it possible?
Well, it is. I mean, you know that Ashanti has always been the heartbeat of the MPP. We appreciate the support. We've never taken the support of Ashanti for granted. We've always maintained that the Ashanti region will continue to be the melting pot for the New Patriotic Party, where our base is very solid, and they appreciate particularly the policies of His Excellency President Akufo-Addo. And I want to single out the free senior high school education, which has really, really been a life changer for many people, cocoa farmers, you know, settlers, people in the clergy. You've seen the testimonies that have come from churches and the imams, who, to the effect that free SHS has actually lessened the burden on them in terms of the number of people who will come to the mosque, come to the churches seeking for financial support for their education. These are testimonies to the effect that His Excellency Akufo-Addo's policies are actually turning around the lives of people. And I think the Ghanaian people and people in Ashanti region in particular will vote in appreciation for a lot of the things that we have done. You've seen the number of hospitals, you've seen the roads, you've seen the infrastructure, you've seen the number of astroturfs that have come up, you've seen the number of community centers, you've seen so much development, fiscal development that have gone on in the Ashanti region. I think that is a testimony that the MPP indeed has responded to the problems and aspirations of the people of Ashanti.
Your party is anticipating over 80-85% of votes from the Ashanti region. Do you think that with what you've done so far, coming into your own base, that can be guarded?
Well, I think that what I've observed, you know, in Ashanti region is the love the people of Ashanti have for the flag bearer in particular. You know, you could see that his conduct, public conduct, his behavior, his message, and the way he carries himself is something that has been so much admired by the people of Ashanti, and they have shown that. And I have a strong sense, a strong belief that if you look at the polls of the party now, they are geared up for a massive turnout, and the target that we have set out for ourselves is surely achievable if we put our wheels to it and we work hard at it. And I'm very confident that if you look at the crop of candidates, the crop of parliamentary candidates that we have chosen this time, young people who are driven and they actually want to prove a point. They want to show that they are actually on the ground, they are going to work, they are going to till the ground to ensure that our party people, and don't forget, the people of Ashanti also remember what happened in 2008. You know, the fact that there was apathy, and many of them, they didn't show up for the elections, and that costed the New Patriotic Party so much, to the point where we lost that election by a minuscule 23,000 votes. We don't want to get that experience anymore. So we are going to make a big turnout in Ashanti. We are going to ensure that our turnout is massive, and coupled with the other work that we've done in other regions, if all things are possible, I'm very, very sure that we will have a one-time victory come December 7th.
The Vice President, while on his tour, said that there is a need for the NPP to capture all 47 seats in the Ashanti region. Currently, there are some few seats that looks very strong for the NPP and the NDC. Asawase, where we were yesterday, looks like a very strong vote for the NDC. Is the NPP seeking to grab that seat in particular, alongside the Jura Secho Dumasi and other seats?
We're working assiduously towards that. Don't forget that the dynamics in Asawase are quite different. The NPP has presented to the people of Asawase a Muslim candidate. Don't forget that His Excellency had also helped in the construction of the mosque. And the fact that it will be the first time somebody of a Muslim extraction will be sworn in as president. It's something that many more people that I know have met and engaged who are telling me that will be a history they would like to be alive to see happen. So I have a strong conviction that the Asawase project is possible. We are likely to annex that seat. And the candidate we have chosen, Manaf Ibrahim, is a very, very dynamic candidate, very strong character, and who has actually lived his whole life, worked his whole life in that constituency. And I believe it's about time what the people of Asawase would like to see the MPP on the seat, you know, to really bring forth some of the key things that we intend to do to help turn around that constituency.
And what is next for Dr. Mahmoudou Bawumia right after completing his 15-day tour of the Ashanti region today?
We're going to head back to the north. We're going to head back to the north to finish up some of the constituencies, and we're going to be going around the country again. We're going to be running through the country once more, and we're not done until we're done.
The Vice President is not done with his tour so far.
We're not done with our tour at all. We are in it till the last day. You know, that is the type of energy, that's the type of drive that the candidate has garnered, and all of us on the team have seen.
So there was Anthony Kabo, a special aide to the Vice President and the MPP flag bearer for election 2024, speaking there to my colleague Nana Wachiyada. Remember, the MPP's candidate, Dr. Bawumia, is ending his 15-year tour of the Ashanti region today. Now, the target for the NDC, the MPP ahead of the election, is to win at least 80 to 85% of the votes in the region, and also secure all the 47 constituencies in the Ashanti region. Are these feasible? Now, let me bring in, for some analysis on this matter, political scientist Dr. Kwesi Amache-Boateng. Dr. Amache, good afternoon. Welcome to the poll. So this MPP target of winning between 80 and 85 of the popular votes in the region, and then the target to secure all 47 seats, something that has eluded them for years, since 1992, can it turn around for the MPP in 2024?
Well, let me say thanks for having me and to greet your viewers. Mm. Actually, it's only fair for any person to aim as high as possible, that you try to, you know, go to the sun. If you don't get there, you land on the moon, you take it. So I'd like to believe that is what the MPP is doing. Mm. You know, they know that even in those days when Ghana's democracy was young and the euphoria around a president coming from Ashanti region was so high, in Ghana's political history, it had never happened when President Kufuor really contested. He never got anywhere near 80.
Right.
So, I mean, if this time around, with all the attending difficulties, central among them, the economy, a major challenge, and several other factors I will, you know, go through if we have time.
Right.
If out of this, the MPP is dreaming of 80% of the presidential votes coming from Ashanti region, I mean, is an interesting thing. It's very, very interesting. It's not feasible. It's not realistic. It's simply, I don't know how they came by that understanding. Mm. They are not getting there, so, you know, to put it bluntly.
So, Dr. Machi, if they are not getting the target that they've set for themselves between 80 and 85, then clearly, and if they also come below 75, that may pose some difficulty for the MPP in the attempt to continue to stay in power in January.
You see, MPP cannot eat its, pie and keep it. Generally speaking, the party has not really been so if not handled matters, politics in Ashanti region well at all. You know, it started with Nana Akufo-Addo becoming the flag bearer, he picked on Comrade Japon and Ashanti and dealt with him. Virtually, Comrade Japon was sacked from the party for no apparent reason. And then the issue of Alan Chemartin, who did not, unlike Comrade Japon, just stay there. He has gone ahead to form a political party and is drawing a segment of the MPP's faithfuls.
Right.
And there are several other people who really are closely associated with Alan and so are moving all the way out with Alan. And then there's this issue of Mercy Markets. The Markets women have been in, have been up in arms for some time now. They've come public and openly sworn to do the only thing they can. That is election time. It is a time for accountability that they are going to make the MPP appreciate the fact that they cannot be taken for granted. That if they couldn't complete the stores, put the market in place, there was no need pulling it down. That they came there with soldiers, even when they were not ready to, take their wares to proper place, and then under the cover of the soldiers, they pulled down everything and came up with, promises.
Right.
The promises have not been redeemed. The mighty challenge every Ghanaian has with the economy is there. Dr. Bellemere's own fundamentals are staring at him. The city is as much as it is against $1, and you cannot wish this away.
Of course.
So if in spite of all this, Dr. Bellemere is saying that they are going, and his people are dreaming of 80%, I'm really at a loss.
But Dr. Manche, if, for example, the factors that you are enumerating, I mean, the Ashanti, who is all true and true MPP, if this Ashanti decides that the MPP has not kept faith with me, and for that reason, I want to teach them a lesson. The lesson that Ashanti, who is 100% MPP, is teaching the MPP is inuring to the benefit of a party he is seriously against. So what do you expect to happen in these circumstances? Do you expect voter apathy or the Ashanti who is an MPP will simply say, I'm going to vote for the NDC because my own party has disappointed me?
I think you just suggested a way out. Voter apathy is one. Alan Chemartin is another. And then some people intentionally go to the polls to simply produce a spoiled ballot. They just decide to spoil it, and they might not necessarily vote for the NDC. We can come to terms with that. But I think they have several other options. But the bottom line is that the 80% that they're desiring simply not attainable.
But casting the net wider across the country, Bawumia is from the Northeast region. The claim here is that because of his lineage to the northern part of the country, the dynamics for 2024 may not, may be different, may not represent what we've known for years now. Then you've got Ashanti that you may not get the 80%, but you may get somewhere between 70 and 75. There's the Eastern region, which always become 55% for the MPP and 45% for the NDC. Some say that because of the relationship between the MPP flag bearer and the northern part of the country, the dynamics in 2024 may change. You support this? Do you agree or disagree with this narrative?
Generally, the dynamics might change in Ghana. The presence of the youth and also the presence of new contestants are going to affect, what we have known over the period. So generally, the dynamics are going to change. In the north, obviously, the WMS presence has definitely affected the place. I will not be surprised to see some sort of a reconfiguration in terms of, the percentages and then the patterns of votes. But that notwithstanding, I don't think he's going to, sweep everything along. We know that, talking is not necessarily doing, and people have reasons you know, to be forewarned that token is not due. So, I mean, people coming out with various promises that, you know, the last time around were not delivered. They have not come out to explain anything to anybody. There's this very special challenge Ghana is facing, the Galamsey challenge. And Dr. Bomiye's party is saying that they won't do anything about it. They want to, you know, get the elections done. And the people who live in those areas stand condemned to death because they have nothing. These people are, you know, the very poor, I mean, of the poorest in Ghana. Mm. If you send them water, sachet water, you need to give it to them free of charge. They can't buy.
Right.
They rely rigidly with the earth, with the land. Their land is spoiled. Their water sources are polluted. I'm expecting all these things to play, to affect the dynamics in the, you know, forthcoming elections.
All right. Finally, before I let you go, we've just 18 days to go. What should the parties do now that we are almost at a home run? John Mahama is in the Eastern Region in the 2020 election. He avoided the Chibi area during his campaign. Yesterday, he was there. What do we expect them to do now that we have just 18 days to go?
I think they should rather be, they should be summing up. Their messages should be put together in a concrete, straightforward fashion, specifically aimed at getting Ghanaians to know that when they come, they are able to affect their living conditions. That is the basic thing. You know, they should be putting together their points, summing them up, and then getting communicators who can speak clearly to the issues to, you know, take up this part of the whole work and to let Ghanaians know, when I come, because of A, B, C, D, we are able to affect your conditions of life. We are able to provide you security. We are able to let you know that Ghana will not be importing, say, tomatoes from Burkina Faso when we have a major program on agriculture at a time when, you know, the country has borrowed so much money and you virtually don't see much. You don't have so much on the ground. In the area of agriculture, Ghana is a complete failure. We import tomatoes, we import rice, we import onions, and that is unacceptable for a country like Ghana.
Right.
So they should be coming out to let Ghanaians know that at least we will take control over the food we eat and make sure that we empower our people to go into those areas that will buy their products, we will get them silos, places, you know, for their products to be kept and, you know, sent to the market, that the farmers will be rewarded for their work. We need to come up finally with some of these things and let Ghanaians know that, yes, we are coming back to address the concerns of Ghanaians.
All right, we'll leave it here for now. Dr. Amachi Boateng is a political scientist with the KNUST. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. And talking about crafting the message and getting the right communicators to advance it, the Coalition of Domestic Election Observers, CODEO, in its second pre-election report says incumbency abuse, vote buying, and lack of voter education have been a major concern as the campaigns reach fever pitch. The report says political activities have remained predominantly issue-focused, a development CODEO commenced. Joining us for more on this is Vera Abena-Ado, project coordinator with CODEO. Vera, good afternoon. Welcome to the Pulse. So first, let me ask you, we've got 18 days to go. You've done this across the country. Will you say that tension is building up or is normal or there's nothing to be worried about from what you have analyzed so far?
So report from our 97 constituency shows that there's generally a bit of calm. Our observers did not witness any issue of intimidation or violence, but that means that we don't have to be complacent. We need to intensify effort to ensure that we maintain the peace that we have seen across all the constituencies so far. Campaigns are ongoing, and interestingly, something that we commend the major political parties, issue-based, even though they have different issues they are concentrating on. If you look at the NDC's issues they are concentrating on, largely focusing on economy, unemployment, and corruption. The NPP also focusing on education, food and agriculture, and then health, sanitation, and water. It actually also shows that these are issues, it's a complete shift from politics of insult we have seen over the years.
Right.
And if you look at, it's something that we want to commend the parties to continue with this so that it's not more, politics of insult and tribalism actually cause chaos. So if we see the political parties actually concentrating on issues, then it means that we are heading somewhere. And based on Afrobarometer's reports recently, published, you realize that these are the issues that are more important to Ghanaians. So I am not surprised that the parties have also taken a cue from that and are concentrating on key issues that affect Ghanaians the most.
Why is voter education a bit low? I mean, we've got what's tomorrow will be 17 days to go, but voter education appears to be very low, at least from your own analysis from the first reports.
Yes, so that was worrying from our first report that we did not see much of the voter and civic education in the constituencies that we observed.
Right.
We saw limited voter education from the NCC, the Electoral Commission, even the political parties, and also NGOs. We have seen from the past that civil society have played some significant role in also complementing the work of these institutions. But recently, for this very election, limited, even though with this second report, we have seen a marginal increase, we still think that a lot needs to be done. Because if you look at the statistics with the first-time voters, you realize that we are going to have more Ghanaians, young people who are going to vote for the first time come December 7th. So it means that a lot more needs to be done. We need to intensify our voter education out there. Yeah.
The issue of incumbency abuse, how widespread is it? Is it something you identify across the country or just restricted to certain areas?
So we identify across the country, even though you don't see the percentage as a big issue and it comes as a small issue, you realize that it's even difficult to actually identify some of these issues. If you are tracking, for instance, with government vehicles, at what point do you use government vehicles for your campaign and for official duties? We are only able to track the vehicles that are labeled with the government plates, the green or GV. That's what we're able to. But we also know for a fact that most of the vehicles, government vehicles, are not branded. And so even with those ones that we can visibly see, if you look at the numbers, you realize that it's an issue. And this is where we actually call for reform in our campaign financing. And look at what point do we draw the line between where Minister of State, presidents, or even a vice president do not use the state resources. So that's an even playing ground, because the implications are not too good for us as a country, and we need really to have a conversation on. If you look at previous, you see traces of incumbency, abuse, and use of state resources for their individual campaign, and it's worrying.
And then finally, on the issue of vote buying, is this something that we should be worried about?
Yes, we should be worried about, because this is a very important decision, a national decision that we are going to make December 7th. And so we do not have to exchange that for cash or any goodies. And so we want to call on all citizens that whatever decision we make now, we have to live with it for the next 4 years. And so we need to ensure that we are not, apart from the fact that it's legally wrong,
right.
The implications are also such that you see a lot of state capture, corruption. These implications will come back to us, because where did they get the money from? You should be asking them, because when they come in, they will have to find a way to recoup all the money they've given out there. So it's really worrying when politicians start sharing these goodies. And for citizens, we need to guard against that when they come in with those goodies. So it's something we are really pushing against that.
So is it just money or other forms of inducement?
Other forms of inducement, we saw other goods, their distribution of other goods aside cash. In terms of cash, sometimes it's also free transportation. If you look at some of them will call it transportation, but if you look at where you are, where you are based, and where you go for the party rally, and how much you are giving as a transportation, you can only conclude that these are forms of vote buying. But we've also seen a lot of them giving cash and also giving out items in some of the constituencies that we have witnessed.
And we know some of them that we have seen,
others that we do not see.
and this is coming from all the political parties.
This is coming from all the political parties, especially the two main parties, the NPP and the NDC.
All right, let's leave it here. Thank you so much, Vera. Project coordinator with Cordeo, and their second report on election observation is out, and they've identified incumbency abuse, vote buying, amongst others, are some of the things that are ongoing as far as this election. We've also identified the fact that for the first time, there appears to be focus on policies rather than, attacks, verbal attacks, physical attacks here and there, with the MPP focusing more on education, NDC is also doing more on the economy. But overall, this campaign appears to be policy-driven by all the political parties. We'll take a short break here on the pause, and when we return, we'll have more to deal with this afternoon. News. Now, at the start of the show, we brought you that news conference by the NDC, and the party is accusing the General Commanding Officer for the Middle Belt of this country, Brigadier General Opoku Ajiman, who was inducted into office and has started work in charge of the Middle Belt all the way to the northern sector of the country. The NDC claim that he is in league with the MPP to rig the December 7th election, especially in the Ashanti region. The MPP Director of Communication, which Ahiagba, joins me for some reaction. Mr. Ahiagba, good afternoon and welcome. And the direct question is, have you engaged a sitting military officer to help you rig the elections?
Thank you very much. I didn't catch who I'm speaking with. Is it Blessed?
Yeah, this is Elton here.
Oh, okay. How are you?
Very well, sir.
Okay. Well, the specific answer to your question is no. Brigadier General Michael Poku is a professional military officer. He is not working with the New Patriotic Party. He's not part of our campaign. And so, therefore, we have not contracted him to do any such job that the NDC is crying about.
The NDC traced the history of this military officer from the Ayawaso West War gone by election violence, in which he was one of those military officers that were deployed to maintain security. He was a colonel then. And the NDC made the point that in this year of 2024, he's been elevated to the position of Brigadier General and now entrusted with the responsibility of being responsible for the middle sector all the way to the north for the Ghana Armed Forces. They think that the promotion does not sit well with them, and it is part of a plan by the Akufo-Addo administration to position this military officer such that he will be able to help the party rig the election in December. And they made a point that they have uncovered things that suggest that this their claim is already in progress at his home in the Ashanti region. What will be your reaction to this?
Well, I'm sure that's a matter subject to investigation, but the key thing which is of interest to me is that the whole allegation by the NDC is a preemptive attempt to color this election in a certain light, to pave way for them to advance the violence that they are plotting. If you saw the video, a group of young people from Obuasi NDC youth had promised the entire country what violence they have in stock for us, threatening the EC to forget about declaring the election, that they would themselves declare John Mahama the winner of the election. So this is what the NDC is doing. They're only looking for a decoy. They're looking for a condition to claim that we told you in a certain press conference that, oh, this is what they are plotting. Brigadier Michael Poku is a professional military officer, as I told you. Mm. If he is assigned to a duty, he must execute. It could have been anybody assigned to the middle belt. Could be anybody. If you can remove him from there, assign him a different task, because he is looking for a decoy, they will use somebody else. Today, Brigadier Opoku who they are using could be anything. So for them, just looking for a scapegoat, they're looking for an individual on whom to hang their crime. And if you look at the landscape between the two political parties, we never in our record claim that violence is our fault, but the NDC has claimed that. So between the two, if you're looking, one who is violent, it's not going to be the MPP, but it's the NDC. So this, for me, as I said, is a design to, you know, scare Ghanaians and put certain fear in Ghanaians, okay, to give them a plausible basis to perpetrate their violence. And I give you evidence of what the Obuasi youth of the NDC recently showed us in a video. That was not meant to come out. I guess they spoke too soon or acted too bravely on a plan that was supposed to be undercover up until when they execute. But if you are looking in our history, the political history of our country, they who have violent record, it's not the New Patriotic Party, but it's the NDC. Whatever the issue to do with Ayawaso West were gone, the president who opened up for that inquiry to be had and seeking to ensure that we ensure that something like that don't happen again. It's not a basis to say that Colonel Toku would be an individual who does that. On the day, if you had any other person apart from Colonel Toku or any other person of any other person assigned the responsibility on that day, whatever happened, if the conditions prevailed as they were on the day, you never know what would have happened. So for me, that incident in Ayawaso West Ogun can never be asked to measure his professional conduct from when he joined the military up until now. So really, if there is any takeaway from this press conference today, it is to the extent that the NDC is looking for some event to reference in the past when they create their future mayhem to say that this is why we are reacting. But to assure Ghanaians that the New Patriotic Party, we are not the ones with the revolutionary roots. We are not the ones who pride ourselves in violence. We are the ones who says we're Democrats. And from the beginning of this Fourth Republic, we were the ones who bore the brunt of the violence of the New Democratic Congress. But, and we are turning sure that this Fourth Republic continues and this election on the Sebas level will be peaceful and Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia will win it very peacefully.
If I may come in, I mean, this same brigadier, the NDC singles him out from the thousands of officers we have serving the Ghana Army. And this, I mean, why was no action taken against him, even though the MLS subcommittee had recommended some action to be taken against him because of the role he played at Ayawaso West Wagon, you know, electoral violence. And then, but rather, he enjoyed some steady promotions in the Ghana Army up until now.
Well, I mean, if Colonel Brigadier Poku at the time, Colonel, if he is your brother, I don't think you ask me this question. When a person is doing his professional job, unless there is incontrovertible evidence, recommendations of commissions are subject to, discretion because there are additional facts and basis that would justify their execution or not. Mm. So the mere fact that a commission or a committee has sat down and make a recommendation, you as the superior or the person to implement or execute that recommendation, you are not necessarily bound by executing that recommendation. If that were the case, the committee or commission would have implemented it. So there are facts that will guide that implementation. You understand?
Right.
And I think that the NDC is just using Colonel Poku as a scapegoat to actually create an avenue for them to continue what violence they have in store. Colonel Poku, Brigadier Poku, let me be correct, Brigadier Poku, Brigadier General Poku has not done anything to merit this level of vain attacks and the mischaracterization of his professional conduct. Up until MPP came to power, he was in the military.
Mm.
Why haven't they had any reason to complain about him when he was there? In 2016, did they find reason that he was in league with a New Patriotic Party to rig the 2020 election, 2016 election, or do anything in that manner? No. So what I'm telling you, which is a fact, and which fact you can draw from the NDC's own history of propensity to commit violence, is to say that they are looking for some instances where they will cite. And so this is a preemptive strike to say that violence is coming. And I'm telling you that there are youth in Obuasi and many other places. We know what they are doing.
Mm.
We know what they are capable of. Their flag bearer told us that when it comes to violence, nobody beats them. So I'm not sure why suddenly they think that the NPP is superior to them. We were in power in 2021. Former President John Dramani Mahama was saying that nobody can beat the NDC in violence. So what has changed? Why does he think that now that the NPP somehow we have some superior tendency to be more violent than them. The truth is that we are who we are. We are going to be peaceful. And the NDC doesn't like peaceful elections. It is they who don't like peaceful elections. We have won election from a position of disadvantage. We contested Rawlings. And they, Rawlings' infrastructure was in place, and we contested them. We were the underdogs, and we beat them. And we continue to operate with that understanding that if we do work, if we perform, if we serve Ghanaians well, the mandate that we seek from Ghanaians will be gotten by us. And you know that in this, all of this campaign, if you follow carefully, you will see there's a clear contrast between the MPP and the NDC. While the MPP is focused on issue, His Excellency Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia going up and down this country discussing what he wants to do along the lines of youth promotion, job creation, in terms of digitalization, in terms of advancing the president's vision to ensure that our hospital or healthcare system is expanded, that more access is given to Ghanaians. He's going up and down canvassing this with his running mate.
Right.
And the NDC candidate, His Excellency, the former President John Dramani Mahama, is busy just insulting everybody. He's insulting everybody. He's just literally insulting and promising that they are superior in terms of violence.
So
when they have realized that their campaign is not getting the traction, their campaign is not pulling what they want to pull in terms of, as an opposition government right now, it should be clear, decidedly clear, that people are drifting to the NDC. What is the big idea the NDC is pushing? Between you and I, if we set politics aside, if you want to tell me, what is the big idea that the NDC has? Nothing. It's all insults. So such people would prefer violence so that they can perpetuate or deliver their superiority in terms of violence so they can create some kind of mayhem and scare people. And if unless they win the election, the election was not fair. And that's not how to go.
And then finally, they've asked the IGP, the CDS, to look into this. Is this something that you support?
Well, they have made their calls, but I know beforehand that there's no merit in this. But they said the individuals that they have mentioned, if their office allows for whatever call they have made on them, the New Patriotic Party will not get in their way. As far as I am concerned, the NDC has full confidence in Dan Parry and the CDS that they have expressed. So they will do their job. I believe that we are campaigning, and our campaign is to serve Ghanaians and to serve Ghanaians with certain set of proposals that we are putting before Ghanaians. We believe that Ghanaians will buy into it because these ideas are valid ideas, relevant ideas, useful ideas that will drive the Ghanaian agenda forward.
All right.
So that's our confidence going into this election, not violence.
We'll leave it here. Mr. Richard Ahiaba, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. He is the Director of Communication with the MPP. Now, let's stay with the MPP a little longer. Running mate to the flag bearer of the MPP, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, also known as Napo, is challenging young people to choose a president who can be a father to them in the upcoming elections. Dr. Prempeh, speaking at the engagement with the UPSA chapter of Test Concert, Dr. Bawumia is the only candidate on the ballot paper who has the policies geared towards the youth and hence must be given the nod to lead the country.
Let me tell you a fact. The future doesn't belong to me, because I am current. The future doesn't belong to Dr. Bawumia because he is current. He is the one that is going to lead you into the future. So check all the presidential candidates. Take their picture. Go and look at their video posts. Look, watch them closely. Watch them closely, all of them. I think they are 30 or 30 minus one or something. Check all of them and ask yourself, who can be my father or who can be my mother, such that the person will think about my well-being? All elections is about your well-being. So if you decide you want the person who will open 24-hour disco because your life will be 24 hours in the disco, you have to the person you are going to vote for. When I was your age, I was in KADUSD, and I had to make a decision at that time. Who do I want to lead the future? I can tell you that time, it was 22 years ago. Or was it 22 years ago? 1992, 32 years ago. 32 years ago, I'm sure 90% of the people in the room here were not born. But I was in your shoes, and I was supposed to choose who I think can lead me to the future. That time, there was no Tesco. But we formed a party, a students group for one of the parties. The party hadn't been in power before. We have only read about them in history books. But when we read their manifesto, and we listened to them, and we didn't have a multiple of radio stations, so you have to strive for the manifesto and read for yourself. We decided that the country that can best champion the future of our youth was MPP. So I didn't stop. I struggled to become the MPP leader at that time, students leader at that time. And I was in a medical school. And we were going for lectures every day. We didn't have your day off like you do, my brother. So we were going for lectures every day. And we had to organize the party on campus. And it was not TESCON commitment, but with little inducement. It wasn't that way. It was MPP. We are going to work for you to make sure you come to power. Because I personally felt, when I looked around all the candidates that are appearing or want to contest, none of them could be my father, except Professor Dubois. I wouldn't wish any of them to be my father. If you can't wish somebody to be your father, don't vote for that person. Simple. If you don't wish for a prosperity for yourself in future, take your vote for Joke. If you have gone through UPSC, whether you like it or not, you finish within the next 3 years. So you don't care about tomorrow. Joke with your vote. Because it was not always like this.
But let's just stay around issues with the MPP. President Akufo-Addo has reaffirmed his administration's dedication to advancing Ghana's development through transformative infrastructure projects. At the inauguration of the Spinters Flower Port interchange in Accra today, he hailed the project as a legacy for the future, underscoring his government vision for a modern and inclusive nation.
Humans do not occur by happenstance. The progress we see today is the product of strategic, focused leadership and the unwavering dedication of countless individuals. I commend the Ministry of Roads and Highways and its Department of Urban Roads under the dynamic leadership of its Minister, the Honorable Francis Asensu Bwache, Bantama Asensu, the Member of Parliament for Bantama, and of his predecessor, the Giant of Etiwa, Honorable Kwesi Amoakwata, the Member of Parliament for Etiwa West, and all the hardworking contractors and consultants who have poured their efforts into making this project a reality. But let us remember, this project is one among many. From the northern savannas to the southern coastlines, and from east to west, we're building a new Ghana, one where roads, bridges, schools, and hospitals rise as symbols of a nation that works for everyone. It is fitting then to acknowledge that this administration has constructed more roads and interchanges than any other in our nation's history. In the Greater Accra region alone, we have completed the Pokwasi interchange, Tema Motorway interchange phase one, Obetebi Lamte interchange phase one, the East Legon underpass, and today, this flower pot interchange. Beyond Accra, we've also delivered the first ever interchanges in the eastern region at Suhum and in the northern region at Tamale. Each of these projects tells a story of commitment, foresight, and a Ghana that is continuously moving forward. Our journey continues with 14 additional interchanges currently underway across Ghana, each at different stages of completion. In Greater Accra, we're building interchanges at Obetchebi-Lamte Interchange Phase 2, Nungwa, Ajingano, Bom Barrier, Pram Pram, Dawinya, Savannah, and Tema Motorway Phase 2. In the Ashanti region, ongoing projects include the Swami Interchange Phase 1, Anumanji, Makro Magazine New Road, Abusuakuruwa and Abrepo, as well as the PTC Interchange in Takrady in the Western region. These projects represent the scale of our ambition, a commitment to excellence and growth that knows no limits. Beyond interchanges, we have made substantial progress in road improvement projects across the nation. Through asphalt overlays, road rehabilitation, and reconstruction, we are creating a safer, smoother, and more efficient transportation network, enhancing riding quality and supporting socioeconomic development. Additional flagship projects, such as the dualization of Ofanko in Sowom, Adenta Dodua, Takrady Aguna Junction, and Kasua Winneba, are progressing remarkably well. Each of these projects underscores our resolve to build an infrastructure network that will uplift every Ghanaian in every corner of the nation.
Well, we are wrapping up, but before we go over the weekend, the world commemorated the remembrance for Road Traffic Victims Day. Reverend Sir Crabb, president of the Accident Victim Support Ghana, has been advocating for, you know, attention on road safety in Ghana. He joins us with in the studio with more. I also have Selassie Woglo, Logistics Manager, Accident Support Victim. You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
So tell us more about this support for accident victims.
Okay, so this Christmas, we are looking on putting smile upon the faces of our victims, and we are looking also forward to discharge some victims in hospital due to funds. Some don't have money. The families don't have money to support. So we are trying to raise funds to support and to discharge 40. We are looking about 40.
Yeah. They've been treated, but held hostage in the hospital.
Exactly. We have about 90, but we...
90?
Yeah. But we are looking at...
Only have 40.
Yes. So we are seeking that individuals, corporates, companies could come and support us, put smile on their faces. I mean, it's no fault of theirs that they are in that state. So we need, the foundation is doing so much to help the victims. And yesterday there were two victims who came and they were happy because last month Melcom donated some foodstuff and we had to
give it to them.
Yeah. So this is what we want to do. Being Momo or consumables, anything, but not dresses. Yes. So if it's finances or consumables, anything to support them to put smiles on their faces, we are entering into Christmas.
Of course. So these 40 are in Accra or spread across the country?
Across. We are looking at Accra and some part of...
So tell me, you are involved in an accident. There is no insurance cover for you on your own?
The insurance, some we are actually following on some, you know, our system here, trying to get a claim is not easy. Today, the one of the ladies, the victim, is about a year and a half, and we are still following it up. So, I mean, it's not easy, but we are trying to also do our possible best to help them so that they can join their families and celebrate
Christmas together. Reverend Cyril, how bad is the situation?
Very bad. Like, let me just greet your cherished viewers this morning. So, like our former president...
It's actually in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. I've been working since morning, so yes, good afternoon, cherished viewers, and forgive me. But it's the... Yeah. The situation as we sit here, former President Kufuor, good morning to him. He will say that it is very, very bad. Like he will say that so far, so good. So far, so very bad. You know, because at this moment, we have over 2,083
accident victims.
Deaths.
Deaths.
Yes. Victims who have died. 2,083. And we are looking at 13,000 injured victims across the country. For the crashes, we don't have to talk about it. You and I know in October alone what we went through. So it's very bad. It's sad that the country had not really taken time to look at it so that we can all holistically talk about it. I've been here several times with victims. Even this morning, we came with one victim over here. She had lost her arm, you know. And look at this pretty lady, 27 years. And it's not the left arm, but the right arm. You know, so she was asking us what is her faith as she's gotten into this. She has not seen the one who caused the accident, the one who was driving the accident. She has not heard anything. And for 1.5 years,
it was a hit and run.
It's not a hit and run. I think it was her case was a stray car, which, you know, came to knock her on the pavement. You know, yesterday we got to understand that pedestrians die a lot. From last year, the pedestrians, you know, took their lead, followed by Okada. Riders, also, you know, yes, and this girl is a pedestrian who was involved. And I brought another Okada guy to the occasion yesterday, you know, who was also amputated, you know, and for 1 year he's been also crying for compensation. So over there at the program, I asked doctors that victims have this challenge and difficulty of assessing a compensation because doctors collect money from them and they don't have it. So it takes years. If they're able to access it, then fine. Because it's one of the requirements you would need to get the compensation. Right. If the doctor is not giving to you, how then do you
how then do it?
So the situation for me, if you ask, in October alone, you and I know, it's very bad.
Exactly.
It's very, very bad. And if you ask me, I don't think that I would tell you anything. I will not garnish it. It's very, very, very bad. And we need to holistically address this issue. I always sit here and tell you, the way you are looking so handsome, God forbid, and God forbid again, if you should meet, I wouldn't even wish as an accident on my worst enemy, you know, and we need to talk about
it. Of course. Let me bring in Slice again. So how much money are we looking at?
Okay, so some have been hosted because of about 1,005.
Just 1,500.
Yes, 2,000.
The thing is that the person is incapable of raising that kind of amount.
Exactly. And some families have abandoned.
Because of the state that they are in.
Exactly. So this we're trying to put money together and try to reach out to these people to discharge them so that they could join their families and also support them with some foodstuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. But before, is there a number you can put it across for somebody watching who will be touched by this and want to help?
So our Momo number is 024-112-3430. I repeat, 024-112-3430. Yes, so Accident Victim Foundation.
Right, so we are crossing over to a live event. You're also wearing our girls' lives
our
matter,
girls,
just in 30 seconds.
You know about the East Legon accident.
Yes.
We want to wish the culprit and the victims and those who die, you know, our deepest condolences and speedy recovery. But then again, we must also address the fact that these girls need justice. When you look at the situation,
there's a case in court.
Yes, the case is in court, but we are looking for justice for these girls. You know, a whole generation has been wiped away, and we have taken it on because last year it was a mantra for us, justice for all crash victims, because they are children who have been involved in an accident.
Okay.
7 children, 11 children, where we sit. And we are pushing that these girls will be given the justice that they deserve.
All right.
Accident victims.
Accident victim support. Yeah. Reverend Sol, thank you so much for telling us. Thank you so much for coming. Hopefully, we'll do this another time. That's our show for today. My name is Elton Robert. Whatever you are up to in the hours ahead, I hope it's profitable. See you tomorrow, same time on The Pulse.